Hello and welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. I'm your host, Rachel Zimmerman. Thank you so much for listening today. And if you're listening on the podcast, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. It makes me feel really good when I can log in and see how many people downloaded the podcast this week. I'm just like, I can't believe you guys got your way to do that. It's so nice. So you guys are awesome. If you are listening on the radio and let's say you're about to run into schnooks or something and you can't listen to the whole show, you can podcast the show on the Odyssey app or anywhere else you get your podcasts. The Odyssey app is great, though, because you can listen to KMOX at like the highest quality possible, highest sound quality possible, and you don't have to have a radio signal. So it just goes off the internet. So as long as you have the internet, you're going to have a crystal clear KMOX signal. Something to keep in mind and something you'll want to download. It is free and very easy to use. You can also listen to shows that aren't even on KMOX. We have a huge library of podcasts that you can choose from. But yeah, if you don't have the Odyssey app too, you can podcast the show anywhere you get your podcast. We're on Apple and all of that. So thanks for listening. I have a really great show for you today. I have two really, really wonderful guests, which I will tell you about in a second. But first, there was a couple things I wanted to cover with you guys. First off, it's been quite the week. It's been Halloween, obviously. I don't doubt anyone missed that. It's a little bit of a hectic time of year around the radio station because on the Dave Glover Show, which I'm on weekdays from 1 to 5 p.m., we really like to blow out Halloween. We like to play a bunch of old stuff and produce new stuff, and it's just fun. And then, of course, you have like the office Halloween party and stuff. But I know it's hectic for everybody out there, especially if you're a parent, you know, making sure your kid has the right costume, making sure they are able to go trick-or-treating or trunk-or-treating, whatever your family decides to do, you know, school parties and all that. It's kind of the beginning of the holiday season and this just very busy, activity-filled time of year. We're gearing up for that. And, you know, we're one down. We've got a few more holidays to go. It's just crazy to think that we're already at that time of year. We're like, Halloween is over, and now we're moving on to Thanksgiving. We're moving on to Christmas and New Year's and Hanukkah and all that. So gear up, everybody. It's happening. It's happening just like it happens every year, and I'm going to try to be ready for it. But yeah, it's nice to kind of have Halloween done and behind us. It was also, you know, the week leading up to the election. That's its own special situation, right? Working in media, it is a very hectic time of year. There's a lot to keep up with on the news cycle. There's a lot to keep up with as far as people calling in and, you know, sharing their voting experience and stuff like that. So that'll all be over next week, you know, hopefully. I highly doubt we know who wins the election on election night. That's not going to happen, most likely. But at least we'll know, you know, we will know soon. And I don't know, then we can kind of move forward. We can see who the new president's going to be and we can just kind of turn a new page and see where the country is going to go. I'm excited to have that information. Hopefully we'll have that information by this time next week, whenever you guys are listening to the show. I decided to vote early this year just because it was kind of weighing over me, and I kept seeing story after story of, I don't live in St. Louis County, I live in the city, but I kept seeing stories of people in the county who were waiting like hours to get their voting because so many people were trying to early vote. And I thought to myself, man, if lines are this bad now, I don't want to risk it on election day having to wait in a super long line. You know, I would still vote even if I had to wait in a long line, but I have kind of a busy day on election day working for KMOX. There's a lot of stuff to do. So I decided, you know what? I'm just going to get this out of the way. I'm going to get it done early. And luckily, there was a place right across the street from KMOX where I was able to go and vote. And I'm happy to say it was a really, really nice experience. I went in, I got my little absentee voter sticker. They knew why I was there. Immediately, the super nice security guard was like, you're here to vote? I'm like, yep. And he sends me on the right path. Got back there. Turns out I needed to update my address, which didn't take long at all. But I did have to get out of line and then get back in line, which was a little discouraging, but not really. Once the ball was rolling, like the whole thing took about 20 minutes. I was very, very pleased with that. And I was also just really grateful to have that time with other people who live in the city who are voting. You know, there's so much negativity about the city of St. Louis, especially downtown St. Louis. People act like it's like a war zone, hellhole type situation. It's simply not true. If you are down here every day, you know that's not true. You know, you can't believe everything you see posted on social media, folks. But I mean, if you are going to take that anecdotal evidence that you see on social media, then take this anecdotal evidence, too. I had a great experience voting with my fellow citizens, just kind of talking to them and just having really nice interactions. And this all happened during lunch hour. So, you know, it could have been everybody's cranky and trying to get in and out of there. But everybody was so nice. It was just a really great experience. So I was grateful for that. So that was my first time early voting. I also went to my first ever political rally recently. Back on October 18th, Lucas Kuntz did a rally in Lafayette Square. And he had a very special guest with him, Mr. Andy Cohen. And I was given the opportunity to interview Andy. So I immediately snatched that up. There's no way I would say no to that. I absolutely love Andy Cohen. I have been a fan of his for a very, very long time. And I got to talk to him. And we are airing that interview at the end of today's show. So hopefully you will stick around and listen to that. We talk a little bit about politics. We talk a lot about Missouri. We talk who would his ultimate guest be on Watch What Happens Live. We kind of cover a lot of stuff. He was so cool. He was so kind and accommodating. And people say, you know, like, you don't want to meet your heroes. You don't want to meet famous people because they might not live up to your expectations. Well, I am very happy to report that Andy absolutely lived up to my expectations. I was so pleased to meet him. He couldn't have been nicer. He was just absolutely great. And I think that comes through in our interview. Also, I get to talk to a wonderful guest named Naresh Kumar. So Naresh was born in India, moved to New Zealand, then moved to the United States, and decided that he really needed to raise awareness for human trafficking. So he started taking these bike rides across different countries on a tandem bicycle. And the point of that was to get strangers to hop on the back of his bike, and he could kind of just pick their brains and educate them about human trafficking. And he raised a ton of money while he was doing it and made a film about it. He's got another film coming out about it in the future. So we talk about his journey. He's a very interesting person, very nice person too. And we get into a really great interview. That'll be kind of the bulk of the show today. So he's up next on The Rachel Zimmerman Show. Very excited to play that for you. Oh, one more thing. Since we're talking about the election and such, earlier this week, went out to the SLU campus and spoke to some students about the election. Just kind of asking, you know, are you planning on voting this year? I didn't ask them who they're voting for. I think that's kind of a personal question, ultimately, and I didn't want to scare anybody away. But I asked, you know, like, what are the big issues you're focused on? And I was really pleased to realize that there was a lot of diversity of opinion on campus. I think a lot of times the narrative is that you know, universities are just this monolith and everyone's getting this like straight up liberal education or something. I just don't think that's true. Not based on the conversations that I had earlier this week. I felt like there were a lot of people that I spoke to that surprised me in the things that they said. So that was very, very interesting. We will play some of that for you on Election Day. And please keep in mind that our voice memo feature on the Odyssey app, we will be checking that throughout the Election Day too. So if you are waiting in line somewhere, or if you just want to share your voting experience, make sure to hop on the Odyssey app and leave us a voice memo. I will listen to every single one of those, and lots of them may end up on the air. So just keep us in mind when you're out running around on Election Day. Okay, I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, we're talking to Naresh Kumar. You're listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show right here on KMOX. Naresh Kumar, thank you so much for joining me on The Rachel Zimmerman Show. Thanks for coming down here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Really,
I know,
excited.
I know you have a newborn, so it's kind of a thing to get out of the house. And oh, she's so cute. Oh my gosh.
She's quite a handful.
Oh my gosh.
biking across America feels easy now.
Okay, speaking of biking across America, the reason I had heard of Unarest is because of your film Freedom Seats, where you rode from India to Germany in 87 days. This is really incredible. This was to raise awareness for human trafficking.
Correct.
We'll talk about that a little bit, but let's get started by having you introduce yourself and share a little bit about your backstory to the audience.
My name is Naresh, born and raised in a southern suburb in a big town called Chennai, India. Just like every other story, you know, education is your passport to escape from poverty. No one is coming to help you out there. So tough upbringing, everything was really difficult, but eventually made it out of there. And I worked as a consultant in the U.S. for a few years and then moved to New Zealand because of my love for Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I love that.
And back here again. So that's the short gist of my life story, what brought me from India to the USA. And just been like been always an outdoor adventurer, engineer by profession, worked in a lot of tech sector.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped to get myself and my family out of poverty, out of India.
That's very cool. I am a huge Lord of the Rings fan, so let's go back to that for a second.
All right. So
you saw the films and you thought, I have to go to this country they're filming in?
So never really watched a Hollywood film until I was 17.
Okay.
So I got my full scholarship ride to study engineering in a big institution in India. And my friends were like, oh, let's watch this epic movie. We should go and watch it. I went to watch for the first time in the screen. And I was thinking like, man, what is this place? It doesn't look like graphics, but it was like a childlike dream. You know, it's like teenage girls watching Taylor Swift concert, like, oh my God, I'm here. It was like me. I want to be living in that country, wherever that is. That dream that I had when I was 17, I realized that dream when I was 32. Finally, when I moved and lived there in New Zealand, and it lived up more than what I expected it to be.
That's amazing. And so then you ended up back in the United States and decided to do these Freedom Seat rides.
Right.
What inspired you to go on the Freedom Seat journey?
So again, it's like, you know, your own upbringing inspires you. So when you see a lot of exploitation happening right around you, and you're so helpless because you're barely keeping your head above the waters in extreme poverty, how are you going to help other people? So you see like women and girls being exploited all the time, be it like bonded labor or sex trafficking, and you want to do something about it, but you're not able to. But then, you know, by God's grace, after I got to a certain level, I wanted to like really give back and help as many people as possible. So that was one of the reasons why I wanted to help with human trafficking. But then also, I was in Nepal one year on some adventures. And when I was in a suburb of Kathmandu, it's just gross, you know. One night in the middle of nowhere, this man approaches soliciting for drugs. And when I said no, he was soliciting girls. And he was taking real pride in having young girls in his catalog, and that he can bring them to me and take them back whenever they want. It almost sold like DoorDash, you know. Instead of food, it was young girls, vulnerable girls taking advantage of. So then it became like, you know, let's fight for something. You know, it's like one finite life. What are we going to do with our life? So putting my engineering skills and mainly my adventure skills, I'm an ultra runner and a multi-day bicyclist and adventurer. How can I use this and all my resources to tell a story of the people who don't have a voice to help them? And nothing like going on an epic adventure and tell a story why you want to do. But also, instead of, you see a lot of people biking all the time, I wanted to bike and push my limits. That will raise a lot of questions to people. But I also wanted to make it a little bit interesting. So I rode a tandem bicycle across New Zealand from top to bottom of New Zealand with an empty seat, inviting random people that I meet along my way to take a seat and pedal with me. It's a curiosity when they see a person missing in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
They want to pull over to ask, what's going on? I think your girlfriend is missing. Did you realize that? Or your friend was drunk and fell off and you didn't realize it. And when you tell them what is the reason why you're doing what you're doing, generous people reach for their wallet. And I said, no, you can do that online, but how about being an advocate for the cause? Push your limits as well. No, just get on the bike. And the number of people who jump on the bike and pedal with you is insane. That trip that started in New Zealand, I had 140 people.
Wow.
And my goal was to raise about $20,000 to rescue girls in Ethiopia. And we ended up raising $60,000
wow.
in a trip of like 30 days that it took. And the best part is I didn't spend a dollar for accommodation the entire way. And so, yeah, that trip inspired me next to do a big ride from India to Germany, 14 countries across two continents, on a tandem, inviting random strangers. Yeah.
So let's talk about these strangers that decide to get on the bike with you. Is there anything that kind of ties everyone together? Like, I'm sure you have people from all different walks of life, but did you notice, like, this certain kind of person wants to ride with me?
Curiosity.
Yeah.
That's like the biggest. You see like 50 cars passing you, but that one car, it never gets old, Rachel. As soon as you see that car turning on their indicator and pulling over, you know there's a story waiting for you there. I mean, out of all the people going through that road, why did this one person, right, when you sit on the driver's seat, see this guy riding a tandem by himself. What is his story? I want to pull over to check on him. And it's mostly the curious ones that pull over. But I think it's also the vulnerable people. Vulnerability is the key to human connection. There's nothing else that brings us all together. Here's a guy pulling over to ask a random stranger why he's riding. And I'm not scared. He could be anyone. What if he's there waiting to hurt me? Instead, you're making yourself vulnerable as well. And then there's this beautiful human connection that forms. And the number of people who invite me home and stay during that trip across 14 countries and two continents. At least New Zealand and USA, I had the gift of language. I can explain why I'm doing what I'm doing. But in all these countries, I don't speak that language. But then, you know, vulnerability has no meaning. You know, it's like human connection. All you have to be is vulnerable. They invite you home and people always ask, like, you just went into a random stranger's house. What if they steal your kidney? I'm like, look at me. They invited me home. I haven't showered in 4 days, long beard. They took a big risk by even inviting me home. And so, yeah, it's just an amazing thing, connecting with people.
All right, guys, stick around because when we come back, it's part two of my interview with Naresh Kumar. You're listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Naresh, where does this come from inside of you that you have this willingness to be vulnerable and this willingness to connect with people and help? Because, I mean, like you said, you came from like a rough upbringing.
Right.
You could have very well just become successful and then lived your life. Instead, you want to help others. Where does that come from?
There was no one to help me. You know, that was a problem. I really desperately was reaching out somebody to just like get me out of where I was. But then you're just left to fend for yourself. Like, you know, I got lucky. You know, I really studied hard and I had the gift of knowledge and somehow things fell in place. And there were so many people, the kindest people that I've met, who were like stepping stones to get me out of there. So you just feel the same. You know, you want to do something with your one life. You know, I was in the tech scene. So I've seen people like, you know, multi-million dollar portfolios and stuff, but you know, never really had like a meaningful life. But then I just wanted to like, you know, yeah, somebody help me someday. Today you, tomorrow me. I want to do as much as possible to do my best. Even, you know, when you see after my finishing my ride from India to Germany, we rescued 40 families from bonded labor slavery who were born and raised in the slave situations for 10, 20 years. So when you go there, they hold their hands together and say, thank you for helping us escape from all that because of you. We have a roof. My kids can go to school. It just makes like much more meaningful. So I just wanted to give back because no one was there to help. And the little people that helped me is because the reason I am here today.
So how can people check out the films that have already been made?
Freedomseat.org.
Okay.
Freedomseat.org. So there's a 25-minute short film of my ride from India to Germany. So it's not just like a travelogue. It's not about fancy travel movie, but it's also about the core of who are these people? How did they get trafficked? And why do they get trafficked? Why can't they just walk away? It's not like back in those days, right? Not like in chains and walking around. They're free, but it's like modern day slavery. And what got them there and how we can get them out of it. And all the struggles that they go through under the slave conditions. So it shows a lot of that. And hopefully, this summer, I finished my ride across America from Oregon to Washington, D.C. And hopefully, if my newborn allows me, now I need to finish that film as well.
Hopefully, you came across some cool strangers here in the U.S. too.
I went right through the heart of America And I am so privileged and lucky. I got to see the real, real Americans. Again, the racial thing, right? People are warning you, genuine, like, you're brown. Be careful. America is not the same it used to be. You better even carry a gun because you don't know what's going to happen. But then with all my travel experiences, you take chances, right? Again, it's all about being vulnerable. I met some of the nicest, kindest Americans I've met in my whole life. I was sharing all these stories on my Facebook, and some of my American friends are like, are you sure you're in America? Because this is not the stories that we hear all the time. Like, even in remote Kansas, Missouri, up in the mountains in the Tetons and Wyoming, people pulling over like, there are a lot of bears out there and you look like you don't have a bear can. Just a random person pulling over and giving his brand new $50 can to you. You're like, why? Why do you care so much? You know, but they do care.
Yeah.
People going and, like, you know, getting coffee, tea, opening their doors to stay in their house. Number of people who paid for my meal in Subway restaurants. I go and sit in there and the waitress would just, like, zero out the bill. And with a big smiley, they would just, like, give the bill. I'm like, no, I haven't paid yet. And hugs are your payment. They come and give a big tight hug, come out and take photos. I really got lucky. And I got to see the heart of Americans, you know, the nicest, kindest people I've ever met in my life.
Were you surprised by that, or were you kind of expecting that starting your ride?
I was not surprised. I think because of my experiences, you know, people are people at the end of the day, the core of who they are, irrespective of religion, political affiliation, and everything. When they see somebody in danger, they want to help. And they always came and, like, helped me out. I think it was a big surprise for my people who thought it was going to be the exact opposite because of how polarized the country is. But it was just my favorite experience. And how beautiful America is out there.
You know, it's such an amazing juxtaposition because you're riding to raise awareness for this thing that is so negative and so dark and so evil. And yet you're relying on the kindness of strangers. It's like they both can exist and you're kind of counting on the fact that we're good. Like, that's going to override everything else and that's going to ultimately help.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also like, you know, everyone has to join hands together. So it's such a big problem, Rachel. I mean, 40, 50 million people, you know, in traffic conditions right now all over the world, and majority of them are women and children. Mm-hmm. As consumerism is increasing, a lot of people don't think that they're not contributing to human trafficking. But, you know, when you buy something super cheap, when it says made in India or Bangladesh, you may have gotten it for a cheaper price, but somebody somewhere was exploited in making that happen to feed the consumerism mindset. So it's really important that we all get together collectively, like, as much as we care for the environment and recycling, people should be like, even if you take that sip of coffee or take that bite of chocolate or put on that cloth, I think the mindset should change. Like, you know, the hands that made these possible, did they eat today? Are they living a safe life today? You know, are they living like a decent human life today? And I think that process is what is going to change. And also in terms of like the sex trafficking and stuff, it takes like a whole world to join together to fight for this, not one man on a bicycle or one man running across the country or something. So I think, you know, the tandem bike kind of brings a lot of people together. I had a kid in New Zealand who jumped on the bike and pedaled with me because he was mowing grass with his grandpa and he saw me and he jumped on the bike. I'm so happy. 5 years later, he went all the way to India, volunteering his time to work in a red light district where a lot of women get trafficked on a marketing campaign, helping them to produce something and sell so that they can live like a decent life. So when that kid said, because I rode the bike with you and you shared the story with me, it became my motive and purpose to help these people as well. So it's not like, you know, you need a lot of people. Even if you have one advocate who's going and fighting along with you, I think, you know, we can see a world without slavery.
Let's keep talking about human trafficking. What are some common misconceptions about that issue that you see? Like, maybe people don't understand what's going on. They think, like, human slavery, what does that mean? Like, what do you want people to know that you think they don't already know?
I think it's not like what it used to be. You know, human trafficking, when people say, oh, are they chained together? Are they being like locked up and beat up in prison kind of a situation? No, they are everyday people walking around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they are trapped one way or the other, but they can't get out of it. You know, it could be in the form of like a debt slavery What happens in India is if your father owes money and if you don't pay back, they'll come and take the kid and the wife away to work in a cotton factory or some brick industry for the rest of your life. It's not legal. You know, it doesn't pass, the debt doesn't pass on to the kid. But then, you know, in the villages, you see them walking around. In the garment industry, someone, you know, may needed some money for their kids for their hospital expenses, and they would be like worked to death to pay off debt. So it comes in all kinds of forms and fashions, and they are all around you. So that's why it's really important that if you get a hinge, like if you know that something is wrong, just report it right away, because that person needs some help. And most of the time, it's also the fear that's keeping him there. Like in Nepal, they'll tell these girls, like, you know, if you try to escape, I know where your family is. I know you have a younger sister. I know how to hurt them. So that's what keeps them there. And they're not even like open to like talk to other people if you want to help them. Because if you rat them out, then you get in a lot more trouble. So they just like accept it. So it really is important. That's why we see a lot of signs everywhere in the bathrooms and signs. You know, if you see something, just say something. There's a lot of help. I'm super glad in the U.S. you see a lot of signs everywhere on signs for human trafficking and calling the number. So yeah, if you find something or if you even get a doubt, it's better to call than like, you know.
Yeah, better safe than sorry.
Sorry, ultimately. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so freedomseat.org is where people can view the film from India to Germany. They can learn more about human trafficking and human trafficking prevention and how to raise money and stuff. What's next for you? Like, what other than editing this film and taking care of your new baby, what's next for you?
My goal has always been to circumnavigate the world on a tandem.
I'm doing it
in bits and pieces. So once Mahima, my daughter, when she's older enough, I need to work on my next segment. So it could be, I don't know, across Asia or some of the Southeast Asian countries. I need to work on some plan. It could be about 7,000, 8,000 miles. But newborns change a lot of that. I'm super excited, you know, to, again, being like, you know, I was single until like last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now married with a daughter. And now the pressure is even more higher. Now that I have a child and girl, I want to make sure I help in creating a safer planet for her to learn, grow, and thrive, along with all these other girls who don't have this chance. So I think my responsibility has increased a bit more. And I can't wait for her to grow up and join me on all these expeditions. And we can be the daughter-dad duo fighting to rescue more people.
That's so cool. So freedomseat.org. Naresh, is there any like social media you want people to follow you on?
Freedomseat.org. Freedomseat is also my Instagram.
Okay.
So you'll see a lot more stories and videos. And I occasionally post all about, you know, where things are happening and how they can contribute to all my charity partners. So if you go to my website, I still have my campaign page open for donating for the cause that I was raising money for across America. So a large part of the fundraising also goes in the prevention part of it, because it's all about education, especially like teenage girls. They need to know on signs of how you may get trafficked, especially with AI and all that stuff. You know, there are a lot more sextortions that's happening.
Yeah.
So just don't get scared, don't get worried and get trapped into this. So we have amazing partners like Three Strands and Ragas and all other partners who work in also educating. Like, prevention is more important. Why rescue when you can even prevent them from getting trafficked in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
So we have some amazing partners, and every dollar the funds raised goes to a great cause.
Naresh Kumar, it was such a pleasure talking to you and learning your story. I hope whenever your next film is done, you'll come back on the show and talk about it.
That'd be
really
fun. Rachel, thanks so much for having me. And this is my first radio interview in St. Louis, so I'm super excited.
Well, you did an amazing job. Thank you. I'm honored that you came on my show first. That's so cool.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Freedomseat.org for those who want to check it out. Welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed my interview with Naresh Kumar. If you missed any part, don't forget you can go back and podcast the show later. But right now, I am so excited to announce that my next interview is with Mr. Andy Cohen. I told you at the beginning of the show we would be talking to him. So I was able to talk to him at a Lucas Kuntz rally a couple weeks ago and just kind of pick his brain about Missouri politics. So I really hope hope you enjoy my conversation with Andy Cohen. This was a little bit of a dream come true for me. So this was very, very cool. I hope you enjoy. I'm here with Andy Cohen. It's such a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So you're...
It's very cool to be on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX Radio.
Oh, yeah. So you were an intern for KMOX.
I was many, many years ago. I was. I used to sit there and just rip AP wire stories, and I don't know what else I did. Not a lot, but it was exciting to be there.
So, Andy, you're clearly not afraid to speak up about politics. That's one of the reasons I admire you. Where does that spirit come from? What inspires you to speak out?
It comes from my mom, Evelyn Cohen, from Clayton, Missouri. She always taught me by example to stand up for what I believe in and speak my mind. And I feel like, you know, I have this platform, which I'm so grateful for. And, you know, as a Missourian and as a dad and as a gay man and as a Jewish man, those are things that I speak up about.
So do you usually do events like this? And what made you want to show up for Lucas Kuntz?
Never. I just believe in Lucas. I've gotten to know him over the last year and a half. I've been embarrassed. I love Missouri. I'm from here. I've spent a lot of time here. And I've been just personally very embarrassed by I just find Josh Hawley very creepy and clownish. And I found his shenanigans to be just below the dignity of the state of Missouri. And I just don't see him helping things here. I don't think he's brought a dime into this state. I think he's all about himself and cheap tricks and stunts and draconian politics, frankly.
Yeah, there seems to be this perception that Missouri is so deep red. But, I mean, that can't be true. There's all these people showing up tonight who want to change from Josh Hawley.
Well, I think that they're, you know, I think the great thing about Lucas, and I've been running around St. Louis and outside of St. Louis all day, and what's become clear from the people that we spoke to is, I don't know who a lot of these people were voting for president, but for Senate, they seem to be choosing the state of Missouri. And I think that's what he is going around talking about, Missouri. And that's what should be important. Two things can be true. You can vote for someone for president, and then you can choose Missouri and vote for Lucas. I'm driving around downtown St. Louis. I'm like, this should be much better. This is amazing. The architecture is amazing. There needs to be more happening downtown. And I know that Lucas knows every county of this state, just by virtue of where he's from and where he's been, and he knows how to get money here and what needs to happen.
So I saw you tweet about this event earlier today. I also saw you got a lot of replies from people to telling you, don't be so political. What do you say to those people? And again, like, why? Your life would be easier if you didn't speak out about this kind of stuff, I would assume, right?
Well, Twitter is a cesspool of trolls, so I don't really pay attention to it whatsoever. And you know what? For anyone who says stay out of politics, I say, sweetie, it'll be over in 19 days. Take a breath. It's okay if I have a different opinion than you. We're all going to live. You like chocolate. I like vanilla. You like cherry. I like raspberry. It doesn't matter. We're all going to get through it. Take a breath. And I believe, again, I'm my mother's son, and I believe in standing up for what you believe in. And I love this state. And I'm going to fight for it. And guess what? I'm going to fight until the last vote is counted. And then we'll all move forward and see where it goes.
What do you miss most about St. Louis when you're not here?
My family. Yeah.
What about any hot spots in town that you like to hit up?
Look, I'm going to do the obvious, Ted Drews. I mean, I got here today. I landed really early. My dad picked me up at the airport. He's like, I ordered in the car a Cafe Manhattan pizza in Clayton, Provel style, St. Louis style pizza. And he's like, Andy, it's like 10:45 in the morning. I go, I have such a taste for this right now. I need it injected in my veins. So I would say St. Louis pizza. And by the way, it's an acquired taste. I have to say, talk to people from outside of St. Louis. They may not get it. But man, it's in my veins.
Andy, you are literally on a list of dream guests for me for my show. So thank you so much for sitting down with me.
I
need to know who's a dream guest for you for Watch What Happens Live or Radio Andy.
You know what? I interviewed Madonna for the radio once. I want to get her down in the clubhouse. We've been really fortunate to have Oprah and Cher and just incredible, huge stars on Watch What Happens Live. But I guess Madonna is definitely one. And basically, it's any huge movie star who's never done the show. There are a lot of people who are too scared to do the show. Mm-hmm. They think I'm going to go there and be shady. And you know what? I'm going to go there and be shady. That's what I do. But here we are.
Andy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.